number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Wound studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. So the NCAA tournament, we've been talking a lot about that tonight as we are looking at the brackets and looking at possible upsets. We'll do that later in the show and give you some thoughts on what teams you should be paying attention. I did not get to, and now I got to get to this. I got to get to the BJ Raji story. He has decided to take a year off from the NFL. It's like a semi-retirement, citing some health concerns in his family as a reason he wants to take a year off. And he's doing something pretty smart here. And I got to be honest with you, this is kind of admirable in a way. If this is real, if the reason that he is leaving is because his mother's got some health concerns, his aunt's got some health concerns, he said he just could not focus, and he just doesn't want to play in the NFL, doesn't want to be part of the NFL if he can't focus. And he says he's hurting, and, you know, he's like, the game's hard. I got too much respect for myself and the Packers to come back just for the sake of money. For the record, I had a very, very nice deal on the table. I had a nice long-term deal on the table from Green Bay, and I had interest from some other playoff contending teams. Did not call it a retirement officially, says he could be back. It's more of a hiatus. There's no guarantee that he will come back. But if that's the case, if he just thought, you know, my mind will be on some other things and I'm really not focused, then I admire that. If he's playing around with that because there's some other reasons he doesn't want to get into, God bless him. But this is a little weird. I mean, it feels like to me that we're seeing more and more of this in the NFL. Guys are just kind of looking at themselves and looking at the sport and looking at their future. And not everybody is doing the Peyton Manning thing, right? Stay and stay right till the end until your body tells you to go. I think it's a little easier for a quarterback than it is for a lineman. But simply put, guys are more or less evaluating and saying, hey, you know what? I got some things that I want to do. And I've got a quality of life that I want to keep. And I'm thinking about walking away from this. He said his aunt told him about, it's not what you do or how much money you get. It's about the experiences that you want out of life. He said, quote, talking to her, I felt like the moment was a shift. Because she said something to me when I brought up the possibility of taking a break from the league. She said something to me. She said, BJ, when you're on your deathbed, you're not going to wish you worked more. You're not going to wish you made more money. You're going to wish that you followed your heart and that you lived and experienced the things you want to experience. He said retirement was easy to consider, much harder to decide. He didn't rush into it and consulted family members and his younger brother. He was going to get a nice deal. He was going to get a lot more money to stay in Green Bay. As he said, he had a nice deal on the table. Raji is going to be gone. Again, possibly for a year, maybe longer, maybe permanently. Who knows? I wonder if it's hard to come back when you've been away a year. Because initially, look, retirement's hard on it, when you've dedicated your life to something. I'm sure retirement is hard for a lot of people who have done nothing but pursue a athletic goal their whole life. Most people don't want to give it away. No, most people don't want to quit. Most people just want to play until they absolutely can't, and then they still try to squeeze a year out of that body. Saw Derek Jeter do it. We've seen Kobe Bryant do it. Heck, maybe you could argue Peyton Manning did it. Right? There are guys who just stay on until it's absolutely last second, and then they try to squeeze more out of it. So I can only imagine that deciding to leave the sport, like Raji has done, is not an easy decision. But I wonder, after that decision is made, is there a big weight that is lifted off some guys that it's like an anvil and they don't want to put it back on their back? Can you imagine all of the preparation and work and everything that you have to do every single day to get your body in shape, especially in playing a physical position? at like defensive linemen, and you have to get yourself in that mode all the time. And there's no real off season where you can just chill out and eat cheeseburgers and, you know, relax all day. You really have to be in shape all the time, working out all the time, doing stuff all the time. So then you decide you don't want to do it anymore. You want to take a year off. You want to get it off your mind and get it off your chest. And you want to go handle some personal things. I wonder if it's difficult at that point to come back. We've seen guys come back out of retirement before, but I wonder how, when you've had that weight lifted off your shoulders, you're like, you know what? I've gone through the hardest part of retirement, which is retiring. But now that I am retired, this is actually easy. I miss it, but I don't miss it. And I wonder if that's going to happen. You know what it reminds me of? This reminds me of how many of you out there have had friends, or maybe even you yourself, went to college, did college, and then kind of got lured into something else, like, you know, working at your parents' business or taking a job, and or just saying, like, I want to tour the country, or I just want to do something else for a year. And then it's very hard to get back into college. Like, you know, people do it all the time. They go to college, they realize, man, this is expensive. I really need a job. You know what I'll do? I'll take a year off and I'll work at my dad's company, or I'll work at my parents' bakery, or I'll work down the street at a hotel or something like that. I'll start saving money for college. But then that lifestyle kicks in, and then you just go, yeah, you know, it's hard. It's just going to be hard to go back to school. I'd just rather keep doing this. And I wonder for BJ Raji if that's what's going to happen to him. That the most difficult part of his retirement, quote unquote, or his hiatus, the way he calls it, is actually making the decision and taking the plunge into it. This is an interesting story. He's what, 29 years old? He's not that old. I mean, he's not Chris Borland young, but he's not an old man. He still has got a good number of years left in this league if he wanted to continue playing. That's a very interesting story. All right, 800-777-2907. Earlier tonight, we were talking about Ben Simmons and his experience at LSU. And what does that mean for college basketball? Does it state anything about one and dones? You know, I already expressed my thoughts on LSU not being a strong place for a one and doner. Johnny Jones not being a strong enough coach to handle a one and doner. And those were really evident, by the way. That just ended up being a disaster. Now, people will say, well, this hurts college basketball. All right, tell me how this hurts college basketball. I think it's nonsense when people are looking at Ben Simmons. I heard this argument that if Ben Simmons couldn't get LSU to the NCAA tournament, how's he going to do in the NBA? Look, Ben Simmons is going to be highly drafted, if not be the number one overall pick. And whether or not he got LSU to an NCAA tournament is going to be irrelevant. They're going to judge him on skill, and they're going to judge him on potential. This is the other thing that people forget, too, in the NBA. When you draft a one-and-doner, yeah, you're a bad team, you're a lottery team, but you're looking at the long term, too. You're not hoping that an 18, 19-year-old kid comes into the NBA and lights it up and leads you to the playoffs. You're looking long-term. If I get 2 or 3 years out of this kid at the beginning of his career, where he learns the league, he learns at a pace in an 82-game schedule, he learns his opponent, he learns the travel, he learns the temptations, he gets all of that stuff out of his way, he can become a seriously good basketball player, and that's the kind of guy we want on this team. That's why we would take a guy like Ben Simmons. It's not that he's going to come in as a rookie and average 25 and 14. He's going to come into the league and he's going to learn, he's going to get better, and when he gets really good, when he's 20, 21, 22, then you've really got something that you hope you lock up before he finds his way to free agency.
You know what? When I talk about, or when I hear people talk about the one and dones and how it's ruining college basketball and everything, I personally think the way it is now is probably the best way for the NBA and college basketball. College basketball, we get to see these kids play. Some of these kids that were going straight to the NBA, they weren't even sniffing playing time, and then they're out or they're overseas playing. If they would have went to college, they maybe realized that they needed 2 years of development or a third year. And then maybe they had some success in the NBA, but they were just going because they were chasing money, which I can't blame them. So I feel like just this way it is now, because we're not seeing Ben Simmons every year. You know, yes, Jahlil Okafor and Karl-Anthony Towns probably could have played in the NBA, but the year in college did them good.
No, you're absolutely right. At least this gives them the option to have that kind of aha moment.
Yeah.
Where they go, you know what? Like in their freshman year, we're like, you know what? I got some things to work on.
Like the Harrison twins.
Right. The Harrison twins, where they said, you know what? We still got to work on some things. Let's stay at Kentucky. This still is a pretty cool place.
And if you really want the money, go overseas.
Yep, go overseas. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Again, telephone number 800-777-2907. You know, you made a really good point about the one-and-done situation. I don't know why people complain about it so much. It seems like you're right. It seems like it's the best fit for players and because it's either too extreme, right? It's either kids go right from high school to the NBA and never get a chance to sort of back off and go, oh my God, this was way too big of a bite. At least in college, they can evaluate their talent and go, hey, I might need to stick around a little bit.
Yeah, and especially because this isn't like baseball or even the NFL to an extent. Yes, kids can't go straight from high school to the NFL and play. It's just they're not physically able to. They're not prepared to. But NBA basketball is a lot different from college basketball, just the way things are run. And so, yes, just going and getting into the experience of the college game can add so much to your game, because it's such a it's such a different style that, you know, Ben Simmons will probably be better in an NBA setting. The way it's just kind of isolation, you know, screen and roll, a two-man game. Whereas in college, you're playing more of a five-man game. But he's still better off going through college for a year, even if it was a really crappy season and it kind of hurt him. But overall, the majority, 99.8% of kids need college at least 1 year.
Yeah, they need at least 1 year. I totally agree with that. And look, that was the reason the age limit was put in place by David Stern, was because of the reactions of like Kwame Brown coming in and being like, he's totally lost in the league. And Stern just wanted to stem the tide a little bit of all the high school kids that were coming in, because not everyone is LeBron James. Not everyone is Kobe Bryant. Not everyone is Kevin Garnett. Not everyone is coming right in and being able to just be an impactful player and kind of adapt to that life. Listen, it's gotta be coming out of high school. I can't imagine what going to an NBA team is like, because if you really think about it, remember when I was talking to Brian Lazier earlier on the show and I mentioned the kid with the sign that said, thank you, Ben Simmons, you know, thank you, Ben, for the at LSU. Ben Simmons didn't do anything at LSU for the team. I mean, he put up good numbers and stats. He was entertaining. The team was terrible. The team was terrible all year. What are they thanking him for? They're really thanking him for entertaining them and just being an LSU Tiger. Well, that doesn't work in the NBA. Right? Like if you're a kid, you don't get that kind of reception where like just hanging around and being a guy on the team that scores 20 a night and the team is still terrible. You don't get that kind of feedback, because there is an expectation that at 18 years old, you're going to make something of a difference. You're not necessarily going to lead a team to the playoffs, but you're going to change the fortunes of the team for the better. And when you're a high school kid and you decide, okay, I'm going to go to the NBA, and then you get drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers or you get drafted by the Washington Wizards, they immediately take you and they tell you, here are the beat writers, here are the television stations, here's the radio stations, you're going to have to do these interviews, we're going to help you with this process. Oh, by the way, here's a symposium on how to handle your new wealth. Here's a symposium on how to handle all the women that are going to come after you, because some of them are going to be looking for money and some of them may do some, you know, may trick you and do all this stuff. You're like overwhelmed by this kind of world. Where you're going to be, you're 18 years old and you're being told that, yeah, everyone is out to scam you. Like everyone is out to get you. no matter where you go, everyone is going to be after a piece of your money. It's going to be relatives. It's going to be, guy, your agent, people who have these crazy investment plans. Somehow a distant cousin is going to come find you. And you're 18 years old and you're supposed to process all of that with, and oh, by the way, you're the second pick in the draft or the fourth pick in the draft or the fifth pick in the draft. Go out there in an 82 game schedule and help us win some basketball games.
Well, look at the list of guys that made the jump that became a legitimate NBA superstar. You're talking the three you mentioned, Kobe, KG, and LeBron. And then you look at guys like Tracy McGrady, Dwight Howard. Moses Malone was the first one to do
it back in the day.
And then the other one that came to my mind who did was Sean Kemp. I mean, and he wasn't a superstar, but those are the guys. And then you just think about all these guys that just missed completely.
Completely.
You're just like, this is why the age requirement was needed.
Yeah, because David Stern was seeing less success. He was seeing a league that wasn't producing, you know. Look, I don't want to – look, not everybody can be LeBron, but if you're a high school kid going in the NBA, you're expected to become something close.
Yeah, I mean, you're
– like, you're supposed to be a legitimate star if you don't even need college basketball.
You look
– if you can be a professional and right out of high school, then you better be a superstar.
You look at guys like Kwame Brown, you mentioned, Eddie Curry. I mean, yep. They thought these guys were just going to come in and be Shaq-type players.
Sure.
And they didn't even come close. Another guy who – came in with Eddie Curry was Tyson Chandler. He's had a nice NBA career, but he's never been a superstar.
Why didn't that D League take off like it did? I mean, people treat the D League like, oh my God, he's in the D League. Forget it.
That's why I wonder if the D League was expansive. Every team had their own D League team, and it was basically the minor leagues like baseball. Would kids want to still go straight from high school to the NBA if they're like, oh, I'm going to go to the get stuck in the D League and maybe make, you know, say $10,000 a month or something?
Yeah, it doesn't pay much. But you know what? One thing I learned when I was in minor league basketball, because, you know, I was in two different leagues. I was in one league and then the team I was on splintered into another league. So I was in what they called the International Basketball League with the Las Vegas Thunderdogs. And the Las Vegas Silver Bandits. And I was in media relations and whatnot. And we were a brand new league. And the appeal was that the league was going to have, I think we had like 8 teams, 10 teams. And the appeal was we were going to try to keep young talent in America who, you know, just needed a few more years of honing their skills to get to the next level. And then I was in the new resurgence of the ABA in the same idea. But one of the things you find out quickly is that we would lose players routinely to deals from like Portugal.
Yeah.
You know, like all the time. Like our rosters were just constantly, because I was in media relations. So my job was to like, you know, write press releases when a player was taken off and a new player was coming in. And our rosters turned over all the time. And we would get players who had agents, and the agents would say, look, I got him a great deal in Paraguay. I got him a great deal in Portugal. I got him a great deal in Japan. What these agents were saying to us was, look, it's a smaller world, right? If this kid is knocking down three pointers in Trenton, New Jersey, NBA scouts are going to know about it. If this kid's knocking down shots in Tokyo, NBA scouts are going to know about it, and he's going to get six figures
right
out of the deal. It's a small world. Scouts are paid to find you. They'll find out. If you're playing in Paraguay and you shoot 80% from the floor and score 52 points and knock down 15 three-pointers, somebody in the NBA office is going to know about it.
Well, and that's the thing. There's so many damn European or international leagues that you can't even keep track of them all.
You can't. So so we had a hard time keeping players, just like paying them nothing and keeping them in America. Guys were like, listen, I don't necessarily need to be in America. I go make some money. And listen, when I was in high school, Mr. Basketball New Hampshire, his name was Matt Alosa, good basketball player. And he played for Providence. He played for UNH. He had dreams of playing in the NBA. He had dreams of making it. We all thought he was going to be an NBA player because we didn't know when we were all in high school. He ended up making a really good living in Germany and playing overseas. Had a great career. Played overseas. And that is where, if I'm a kid If I can't go to college, that's where I'd head. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Do you think I'm crazy, Adam? I mean, my theory on why LSU said no to the postseason?
No, not at all. It's a bad look if your best player who's getting ready to jet for the NBA is like, oh, you guys are going to go play in the NIT or CBI? I'm good. I'm not going to play.
I rarely disagree with guys who are closer to the program than me. I usually take their word for it. But I just can't believe LSU was like, nah, we're just not good. We're just not going to play. You know, there are a lot of teams that aren't good that still play in postseason tournaments. I think they're covering up for Simmons.
Now there is another, I believe it's Nebraska, has said the same thing. They turned down offers.
I wish more schools would turn down this garbage.
Yeah.
And just be like, that's enough.
I wish it was just the NCAA tournament and the NIT.
And the NIT. Where in the world did we think a college basketball insiders turn? Who came up with that?
There's everything. It's just like the bowl games. Soon we're going to have like 60 bowl games, and everybody's going to be playing in bowl games.
Yeah, and then just going to dominate the whole landscape of television.
We're
going to
have like
8 months.
3-7 teams playing in bowl games, and it's like, well, what's the point of a bowl game now?
Yeah, I think LSU was saying basically like, look, we got two choices here. We either go to the postseason and then Ben Simmons is going to have to come out and say he's not playing anymore, and then we look bad, and then in the end he doesn't look so good, or we just take him off the hook. And we say, we'll take care of that for you, Ben. Don't you worry about that. You won't have to worry about playing another. Because he didn't look, Saturday in Nashville, he didn't look like he wanted to play one more game.
No.
So when they asked him, and he gave the standard PC answer, but I think he also knew, like, no, we ain't doing this. I'm not going to sit here anymore. We're done. We came here with a chance to try to win this thing to get to the NCAAs. That I would have done. But outside of this, I ain't going to no NIT. Are you crazy? I'm out of here. Goodbye. I don't even go to class. I'm not going to class. I'm signing with an agent. I'm leaving. Good luck. Good for him.
And you know the NIT was probably upset with this decision.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because they wanted LSU and Ben Simmons there. That's a draw for them.
Yeah, who the NIT got? They got South Carolina's a one. They got, Belmont is in there.
Houston's in it.
Houston's in it. Georgia Tech and Georgia are in it. They got like a bunch of. Here's what the cool thing is.
The rest of the SEC schools.
Yeah, the rest of the SEC schools. That's what it's called, the NIT/SEC. Catch the NIT on the SEC network. South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, and Alabama are in the thing. Ole Miss is probably ticked off they didn't get an invite.
Right, they're like, what about us?
LSU probably would have gotten in if they said, yeah, we'd like to go. They probably would have got an invite.
Yeah, I guarantee you they would have.
God. SEC basketball. I'll catch it at the NIT.
God, see our
sweet
best.
Lord. God. NIT. I remember South Carolina won the NIT in back-to-back years. My wife goes, you getting a shirt? I go, no, not at all. I ain't getting no shirt. It's at NIT. Are you crazy? That's basically like we're the 69th best team in the country.
Will you watch South Carolina in the NIT?
Yeah, I'll probably watch a game or two.
See, like I don't even know that I would have if Michigan, because Michigan would have been one of the top teams in the NIT if they would have. I don't even know if I would have watched it.
It's just not the same. Well, I don't know what I'm pulling for.
Right.
Because do I really want them to win it? I don't know.
Yes, we're the 50th best team in the country if we win it.
Yeah. I remember when I covered Air Force and they were in the NIT. They made it all the way, to the title game in Madison Square Garden. I remember the whole time, the whole process. I remember I was like, please lose.
Right.
Stop. I don't want to watch this anymore. Ugh. End this. Oh, God, it's brutal. It's just absolutely brutal. I mean, who goes in Madison Square Garden, outside of friends and family, who goes to the NIT Finals? I mean, is that a hot New York ticket? If I'm living in New York City, do I buy tickets to the NIT Final to see not very good basketball teams compete against other not very good basketball teams?
No, I mean, no.
I mean, if my kid is in it, I'll go. But I'm not going to fly to New York City to go watch play in the NIT. Are you crazy?
I could see if you were like a parent in New York City or the surrounding area, and you're like, I have a young kid and he likes basketball a lot. Let's go check out the NIT.
Yeah.
Good chance to go see some college kids that maybe you don't get to see for a cheaper price.
That might be the reason I go.
Yeah.
That might be the reason.
That would be it.
I took my kids to the Music City Bowl, even though I hate the, you know, the bowls, all the all the crazy bowls. But Vanderbilt was in it. We were season ticket holders. So we got a, like a piece of paper in the mail that said you can buy Music City Bowl tickets at this price. And my wife was like, eh, I can't go, but you want to take the kids? I'm like, yeah, all right. We had a blast.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, I wasn't like, now I support the Music City Bowl and every bowl that comes along with it.
Right. I mean, would you have went if it was just you and, say, a buddy?
No.
I mean, so I think it's more like you take your kids.
Yeah. Take your kids. Have a good time. You're right. Take your kids. Watch them basketball. Don't tell them they stink.
Or maybe
these are really good teams.
Right. Yeah.
Look, they've got an SEC patch on them. That must mean they're good.
And the one thing I will say for at least bowl games, a lot of these bowl games, you can tailgate.
So you can tailgate.
You can get drunk and eat a bunch of food before you go into the game. So you know what? Sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes you don't even go in the game. You just keep tailgating, which is the better option for majority of these bowl games.
Yeah. So back to LSU, I just think that they went, look, if we say we're going to go to the NIT and Ben Simmons doesn't want to play, we look bad. Right, we look bad, and you know, in the end, he doesn't necessarily look terrible because he's going to the NBA anyway. But it's just a sour part of the relationship. It's just it just makes the fans, and they just feel like, oh God, there's like a divorce here. Ah.
Well, and then you also have to consider the fact if Ben Simmons walks, do the other guys follow? Exactly. Well, if he's not playing, I'm not playing. You know, there's a few guys, Blakenly and
Craig Victor.
Yeah. I mean, they have NBA chances.
Tim Quarterman.
Quarterman, yes. That's one I couldn't think of. I mean, they have NBA chances, so why risk it playing in a tournament that does not matter? Why risk getting injured and tearing an ACL and you completely drop off all draft boards?
And listen, I have read enough about LSU and talking to the kids that cover the Tigers for the student TV station that they do or whatever. I was talking to them this weekend. Simmons is not a diva. He's not a jerk. He didn't come into the program and demand to be treated special or anything like that at all. And yet still Johnny Jones blew that up. Just could not make that work. And I get it. If Ben Simmons went to give me the worst team in the Big Ten.
Rutgers by far.
Rutgers. Okay, let's say he went to Rutgers. That's a good one because Rutgers does stink.
Yeah.
All right, let's say he went to Rutgers and he only went to Rutgers because a friend of a friend or a family of a friend or whatever was like, you should go to Rutgers. He's like, all right, I'll go to Rutgers. Why not? It's 1 year. It's fine. I'll make this up because that's basically what he did at LSU.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? So if the circumstances were at Rutgers and everyone was like, wow, why in the world did he go to Rutgers? All right, if he's in the Big Ten and he's going up against Michigan State and he's going up against Ohio State, he's going up against Purdue and all those teams, I get it, right? If you can't get Rutgers into the NCAA tournament, no one will blame you. This is inexcusable for Johnny Jones not to win enough games in the SEC to get him into the tournament. That is inexcusable because it was a down year in the SEC. I can't stress this enough. The quality of play in the SEC was not good. And the only reason people say it was better was because it does have potential. There are some good coaches that are going to do some good things here. I think Ben Howland is going to do good things at Mississippi State. I think Rick Barnes will have Tennessee rocking and rolling eventually. Michael White at Florida is a very fine coach from Louisiana Tech. There's going to be some good things happening in the SEC. Not national championship good, but some good things. LSU had a wide open season. Oh, and I forgot Avery Johnson, who overachieved for Alabama. That was wide open for a guy like Ben Simmons to come in and dominate. To dominate and take that conference by force.
Especially when he, like we just talked about, he has other NBA talent on that team.
He has NBA talent on that team.
Win and get in the NCAA tournament, it has to be the biggest disappointment of the year.
Yeah, it is. He wasn't in the Big Ten. He wasn't in the Big 12. He was in the SEC. They got three teams in the NCAA tournament. Blah! Basketball. Good luck, LSU.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us as we continue through the night tonight. By the way, I haven't been paying much attention to the free agency aspect of the NFL over the last couple of days. I probably should get back in gear. Broncos have a quarterback yet besides Mark Sanchez?
Nope, just Mark Sanchez. There's just a lot of buzz about Colin Kaepernick. I really hope Sanchez is the guy.
Oh, my God.
I just want to see Broncos fans lose their minds.
You know what it is, man? I'm telling you, this is what I love about sports. I love this about sports because I do it too. I'm freely admitting I do this too. I try not to do this because I try to think of myself like, there's always like a voice in the back of my head goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? But all right, so Mark Sanchez, this guy got made fun of by every fan base in the NFL for butt fumble and all that other stuff. Like got made fun of. And when he was with the Eagles, it was like, oh, the Eagles, Mark Sanchez. Yeah, go ahead, Sanchez. Blah, 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 blah. So John Elway trades for Sanchez. I'm not kidding. I saw all of my friends on Facebook who were from when I was in Colorado start going, you know, I think John Elway sees something in Sanchez that a lot of other people don't see. Now, because he'll be with a winning organization that you know emphasizes the true meaning of football and isn't the circus that he's so used to with Rex Ryan and Chip Kelly, I think the very best can be brought out of this young core. And I'm going, oh my God, you are looking through this through rose-colored glasses, man. You are 100%. Looking through this. You are trying so bad to, you know, to basically put lipstick on a pig. You are, I mean, it is desperation. When you start rationalizing Mark Sanchez as a legitimate Super Bowl kind of quarterback, because that's all they care about now. You better be able to win a Super Bowl, Denver. Then you are grasping at straws, man. Grasping at straws. And listen, I get it. And I've been arguing with this with some of my friends all weekend. That's why I love Facebook, because we never could have these conversations before. Now we have these conversations daily. I've been telling my friends, listen, stop believing that you can just get anybody. This league is still a quarterback league. Don't believe that the formula that got the Denver Broncos a Super Bowl is just something you just work out every single year. You've got to have some semblance of quarterback play. You don't need a superstar. That's not what I'm saying. You don't need a Pro Bowler. That's not what I'm saying. But you have to have somebody efficient that doesn't turn the ball over, that can move the offense and can score. You got a good enough defense to win a number of games. But the blueprint for winning a Super Bowl is not get an average quarterback or, heck, even a below-average quarterback and just ride a good defense. It doesn't always work that way. The Broncos were very lucky in the playoffs that Antonio Brown was out for the Steelers and that Gostkowski missed that extra point because the Patriots would have tied that game. You have to have a lot of things go your way when you don't have a quarterback. And you're not going to be able to duplicate a lot of those things. And Mark Sanchez is not the answer.
I mean, the reason they got Sanchez was they basically got him for free.
Yeah.
And the only quarterback on the roster was Trevor Siemian, who was, I think, out of his second year out of Northwestern, where he wasn't that great of a quarterback. So they just needed somebody there. And he'll probably be the backup to a guy like Colin Kaepernick or Ryan Fitzpatrick if his price ever drops below the supposed $19 million he's asking everyone for.
I have a buddy who wrote this about Sanchez. He says, am I crazy? He goes, I think he could turn out to be an asset to this team for several years. First as a starter, then as a providing leadership for a young starter.
What?
Mark Sanchez providing leadership to a young starting quarterback? Are you out of your mind?
Yes, that guy is out of his mind. I will 100% say yes. Yes,
wow.
He is.
Wow. That is, ay, ay, ay. Look, Denver's got a great defense, so again, you don't have to go out there and get a star, and maybe you can make Kaepernick work, or maybe you just go get a young quarterback and just ride that out for a couple of years.
That's
I don't know.
That's like me being like, okay, the Bears just got the Broncos middle linebacker, Danny Trevathan, in free agency. Now the Bears' defense will be the Broncos of 2015.
Yeah.
That's what their defense will be now, just because they got the middle linebacker.
I tell you, man, I am so, so nervous the day Ben Roethlisberger announces his retirement. I mean, by the way, Martavius Bryant, well done.
Yay.
Well
the
done.
The next Justin Blackmon or Justin Hunter or Josh Gordon.
These guys are crazy. I mean, really, you're going to give up all of that? You're going to give up that lifestyle and that opportunity? I mean, it's crazy. He's checking himself in
rehab.
What do you think
Big Ben said? He's just like, I can't handle these guys.
I know. Like, I know. I mean, look, Le'Veon Bell's been suspended for this. Now Bryant's been out for a year. It's like, God, you get somebody that you're like, wow, we've got, he's really turning into something great.
Yeah.
He's really helping us. He's really contributing to wins. He's becoming a vital part of, he's suspended. Oh.
Right. Big Ben's like, I only do have a few years left, you know?
That's it.
I'm running out of time.
I've only
and
got a
you're
window
get
here.
You're suspended for a full year because you're stupid and can't quit smoking weed?
Every offensive weapon you've given me is going out of this, is getting out of this league for drugs.
Right.
God.
God, he's crazy. So lucky he has Antonio Brown, who
kidding.
The pillar of what you want your wide receiver to be as a person and as a player.
And seriously, it's so precarious. We know we talk about it all the time, but it's so precarious. You lose a quarterback, it's so difficult to get one. I mean, listen, when Ben Roethlisberger announces his retirement, the Steelers are going to go 3 or 4 years before they finally find something.
That's why we've been talking about the Bears. There's been talk that maybe Carson Wentz falls to him. I'm taking him if he's there.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Jay Cutler's to the there podium. For maybe another 2 years, and he's fine, but man, you just got
to
take
Carson
that chance.
If Carson Wentz is there, you run to the podium. You yell it as you're running to the podium. Carson Wentz, we're taking him! I mean, that's how you would do it. Yahoo Sports Radio.